Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
And you know, the big question we all have is, when are we going to get back to normal? When are we going to have the vaccine? When can we do this? When can we do that? And so on and so forth. And do you know what? My next guest might be able to help us, because Niamh Campbell, when you're not writing novels like This Happy and winning awards for your short stories, I believe you're inclined to consult tarot cards. Am I right?
I am, yes. I'm not sure about predicting 2021. I'm trying to stay away from that, I think.
But is that not what tarot card reading is all about? Enlighten us.
In some cases. So I'm not really a reader necessarily, but I've had a tarot pack since I was a teenager. And something I think I do, and I think other people do, is consult forms of divination, including tarot cards, if they want to make a decision or if they would like some insight into something. And I certainly treat it like a little therapeutic game. So I see it as like, if you have a dream, for instance, and there are images in your dream, they might be telling you something about your subconscious, and consulting tarot is similar. So rather than being magical, it's more like conversations with yourself.
Well, tarot cards were originally invented as, you know, as card games and as a parlor game. Isn't that right? It's only, I suppose, in the last couple of hundred years that that has all changed.
Yes, they still do have, I think, a sort of a role as a parlor game, as it were, something you do sort of lightheartedly. But I think it's interesting that something else that was originally used as a parlor game is the Rorschach test. And that is the dirty stains, the ink stains that we look at. You know, that idea that you show them to people and whatever they see in the ink stain indicates whether or not they're insane. It's kind of best known from films, but that was a parlor game too. So there is sort of an overlap between playfulness and something a little bit more serious.
Right. And for you, which is it? Is it playfulness or is it something a little more serious, that and the reasons why you would consult your tarot cards of a morning?
I think it's playfulness, and perhaps a little more serious if they tell me something really good. So I'm inclined to say, oh, I'll definitely take that to be true if it's a positive reading. And if it's very negative, I'll say, oh, you know, it's just mess, just messing. Don't mind that.
Well, you're sounding like Trump now. You know, it's not a rigged election if I win, but if I don't,
don't mind it.
But do you have to be of a certain mood before you would actually consult your cards? I presume I wouldn't like to be, you know, feeling depressed and down, and resort then to consulting or looking at my tarot cards.
Well, the essay that I wrote for the Illuminations Gallery, that was more or less about being quite, you know, depressed during lockdown or feeling a bit lost and perhaps reaching out for something that might give me some optimism. So I am inclined to do them when I'm in a bad mood. Probably the best place to do them would be after having meditated for a while. I like to meditate. So if you're in that stage of feeling quite calm and you'd like to make a decision or think about something, they can be a good little toy to introduce.
Okay, so you live in hope as you turn the cards that while you're feeling down that something good might turn up.
Yes, and that you won't keep on getting really terrible ones constantly.
Now, how do you feel if you do get terrible ones constantly, and what sort of terrible cards are there that do spook you?
I would feel pretty uneasy if you got a wall-to-wall bad reading and you had asked a specific question.
Right.
So if you said, please tell me how this situation is going to work out, and then you got nothing but awful, that would make me feel a bit uncomfortable. The worst card in the pack is the Three of Swords. So that one is heartbreak. And I did go through a phase of pulling that one almost constantly. And it did feel a bit spooky when you're pulling something and the same one keeps on coming out.
Yeah. But so you obviously feel that there's a supernatural element to all of this, do you?
I don't know if I would say supernatural. I think there we have a lot of intuition that we are unaware of on a conscious level, but which we are always working with behind the scenes. So we have your first judgment of a person tending to be correct, for instance. And it's more like very, very heightened powers of intuition and things that we know, but we don't know we know. And I think there's a relationship with dreaming, and that art is very close to this as well. So if I'm writing, I will usually write very early in the morning so that I can get almost automatic writing, and I will tell myself things I didn't really know I was thinking about, and so on. So I wouldn't say magic. The closest I would get to magic would be, I suppose, Jungian psychoanalysis. So the psychoanalyst Carl Jung is quite well known for being open to things like coincidences and recurring dreams and the role of archetypal images and things like that. So she stops short of saying magic, but he does go a lot further than most people in terms of what we can what we can read from the environment.
But you know, is it in the same family as the Ouija board? Is there a touch of the occult about it?
There definitely could be. I think Ouija boards, first of all, they're definitely more recent, but they're part of that element of divination which involves speaking to the dead, which is its own branch of religion in a way as well. The idea that there's an afterlife you can commune with. I don't think tarot necessarily offers that, though, no. It's probably more akin to the Chinese I Ching, which you might have heard of.
But do you have to be a spiritual person to actually get a kick out of the tarot cards, if you know what I mean?
You probably do have to be open to surprises.
Right.
Well,
but then again, you know, when you talk about religion, obviously, you know, there would be, I suppose, more conservative people or Christians that would, you know, abhor this sort of carry on that, you know, you're talking about false gods and all of that sort of thing here. But as you said, you've made it a kind of a connection. You're saying it's similar to when we wake up in the morning and we've had a weird dream. And if we can remember it, we analyse it. And you probably find that the dream has some sort of a connection with, you know, your state of mind.
Absolutely. I think it would be in the same school as something like doing yoga or very deep meditation or Tai Chi or anything which is designed to bring you into a frame of mind where your subconscious is interacting with you. Dreams are the biggest example that most people are familiar with. Your dreaming is really your subconscious in communicating with you, but it doesn't speak English. It speaks usually images or memories or associations. So things like all of our memories and all of our traumas that go into our body and stay somewhere can be brought to the surface with this kind of divination work. I think of it that way.
Can you become very, very attached to the tarot card?
I think maybe some people can. I've usually encountered, if I get a reading done or if I read them myself, I think it's more like not people rolling the dice and deciding what to do. It's more like if two people are doing it, if you're reading someone else's or they're reading yours, they'll usually ask you questions about your frame of mind. And what are you thinking about? It's like asking for advice, and then they'll do the cards and work with you to say, do you think you'll make this decision? Do you think you'll make that decision? And it's a bit more like that.
And have you got card readings done by other people for you?
Yes, a small number of times, yeah.
And is there a difference? Do you trust yourself better?
They're usually much better than me.
Sorry?
They're usually much better at reading them than me.
You see, you're paying them, so they'll give you something. Or am I being facetious in saying that? Like, you know, saying that, you know, that they are going to tell you what you want to hear because you're paying them for it? Or is it much deeper than that?
It depends on the reader.
Right.
It depends on their approach and how they view this kind of thing themselves. So some people who read tarot would also they would be invested in things like energy healing and telling the future. And then other people would treat it more like I treat it,
Eve, you know, do you fall into the millennial category, do you?
Yes, I do. I'm of that slightly older millennial wing, but yes.
But is it common among millennials then, or your friends and peers? What do they say or how do they react? Have you done tarot readings for them, or is it unusual, or is it something we're
going
to go back to?
It's not common among millennials, no. I think it's my mother's generation are more inclined towards it, interestingly enough. It tends to be a sort of underground thing that women do.
Okay. More so than men?
Yeah, I know a very good male tarot reader, but it does tend to be associated with women.
Right.
I think.
And is it any different than, we'll say, reading tea leaves?
I've never read tea leaves, but I think it's a similar kind of idea. Yeah. Although tea leaves are kind of intuitive and they're a bit more like the I Ching, which is ideograms or visual signs that mean something, that mean something but aren't words, that you use to nominally perhaps tell the future, but mostly to make a decision.
And what would you say to people listening that, you know, might fancy having a go?
There's some really interesting writing about it. Some of it tends towards very esoteric and sort of crypto-Catholic approaches to it, oddly enough. And then the other side of it is a lot of internet websites which are very lighthearted, and they will interpret the cards generally in quite benign ways. So even the worst card that you can pull, it will interpret it as, well, the worst is over, the only way is up, and things like that. So it can be sort of cheerful, and it can also be a little bit weird and dark. But I would say, Shop around for a good reader as well, because people who are good at it will usually have a good reputation. And by good at it, I mean they'll tell someone what the cards are telling them and it will ring true, or they'll make a decision based on it and it will work out well. And that will get passed on by word of mouth normally.
Right. Well, I'll just leave you with a text we've received in here. I got tarot cards as a joke Christmas present years ago. Tried them out on my friends at a party for a laugh. And some of the stuff that came up freaked us all out. I'm not remotely spiritual or religious, but I dumped them after that.
They do come out with freakily accurate things sometimes.
All right, OK. Well, anyway, we let you off there to see how your year, how your week ahead is looking for you, Niamh, by letting you back to your cards there. But thanks so much indeed. And you've written a piece on the RTE Illuminates project. So I presume we can find that online where you talk about this.
Yes, it's an essay about the lockdown experience. And I used tarot as a sort of hook to write about different things that I did during lockdown and revisiting the past and so on. And it's called Necessary Journeys. And it's on the RTE Illuminations Gallery online.
All right. OK, people can read all about that. Niamh, thank you so much. That's Niamh Campbell there.
Email brendan@rte.ie.